All right, good morning.
Welcome back.
This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. Super proud of this group right now. Just having a lot of fun watching them figure it out. It's not easy. Give him a shot. Check him out. Sunborn, his podcast, I think he started yesterday. KDP, you know, Terrell, all of them. It's just a lot of fun. And check him out. Give him a shot. So good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 20th of April, 4:20. My wife told me that this morning. You know what today is? I go, what, 4:20? I was like, oh, boy. Any opportunity, right? Any chance people can get a little something going on, you know, they'll take it. I used to indulge on 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, so on and so forth. So, how's everybody? I am okay. You know, I talked a little bit last week. I wasn't feeling well. I had a cold. I really wasn't feeling well. It's weird. But I feel better. I don't know if it was the shot. I'm not going to speculate. I just know today I feel great. I feel great physically, and I feel great mentally. And I haven't necessarily been feeling great mentally. I know I haven't been feeling great physically. Winter is always rough, you know, because we're just sedentary, right? We're not doing a lot. I know I shouldn't speak for you. I'll speak for me. I've been a bit sedentary, and I kind of enjoy that that hibernation sort of lifestyle for a bit. But, you know, I'm over it. I'm ready to get back outside. I've been doing some projects, working on a few things. The other morning, I got up and washed both cars. It's always fun just to be outside. The weather wasn't a heat wave, but it was definitely warm enough to wash the cars. So, I notice this. I notice this, you know, every year. I've even talked about it, I think, in the podcast, that I'll just one day, and it usually happens around this time of the year, I'll be out running and I'll finish my run and just kind of, there's a part where I just kind of walk into my neighborhood and I usually just have this overwhelming feeling of gratitude that just kind of comes over me like, man, you haven't been feeling great, and now you feel awesome. And I don't know if this happens to everybody else, but I know that I kind of have this where you kind of come out of the cave, you know. They roll back that stone, and all of a sudden I'm just willing and ready to, you know, be part of life again, I guess. And so I think that's what I'm going through right now. The cold didn't help. COVID didn't help. It's been a lot of great opportunities for me to get in the cave. And but I'm ready to come out, ready to take on the day. But there is still some shit, man, that is going on. You know, I can feel perfectly fine. I'm perfectly healthy. I can breathe. I've been running. That's another thing that I've tried to do. I was always a big fan of going to the gym. I loved going to the gym. I loved getting my workout on, my pump on. And over time and my age and, you know, hurting my back when I did, you know, I just haven't. And then kind of COVID. I was taking the boys to the gym pre-COVID a bit. Maybe the last couple of few years. A good friend of mine, Ryan, has the fuck's their gym? Rise Up or Rise? Got confused with coffee. The Rise Gym down in downtown, whatever. They have a cool rock wall and they got a lot of great stuff. And I was taking the boys and they were into it. And then we kind of, I don't know. I think just because of money, maybe, I don't know, but. We stopped going, and then we started kind of to get back into it, and I was starting to just do a lot of workouts with, like, push-ups and bands and squatting with no weight. Just starting to feel good again, and I was starting to feel good. And then kind of COVID hit, and I just haven't really been doing anything. I've obviously still running, barely, or I was running barely. I'm starting to get back in the running game now, but so I've just kind of, and then I kind of got into this mindset that I'm just getting old. I've talked about it, you know. I don't know. I don't have a fear of dying, but I feel like I've been thinking about it a lot, and you know, so. I don't know if I started drinking my own Kool-Aid and started thinking, "Hey, you're just getting old. Don't worry about the gym. Just, you know, set up on the porch on a rocker and, you know, wait the rest out." And I started to kind of buy that. And I'm not. I'm only 52. You know, I'm sort of playing like this victim-y bullshit where, "Oh, you're 52. Poor you." No, I'm at the prime of my life. You know, and maybe I'm not prime physically, but hopefully I'm a little bit more prime mentally, you know, so I can have the balance of, you know, being in decent shape and have learned a lot of things that have got me to this point, whether it's just, you know, trial and error or through the program or, you know, friends. But, you know, I'm at the best time of my life, and I have to remind myself that, hey, Tom, you are at the best time of your life. Yeah, you hurt your back, but it's fine. You know, it's not a fatal injury, or it's not, you know, I could point at a lot of other people that have it a lot worse that are having a lot better time than I am. So I had to remind myself. So, and I think that, I don't know, I think it probably just comes with getting older, but I recognize it, and I'm ready to get back in the game, so I started doing push-ups. And I hate to admit this, but I don't know if it was mentally, I'm going to say mentally, physically, I think I could have done more, but I did 7. And then I stopped. And I think it was mental. I think physically I could have done more than 7, but for some reason I stopped. But I've been doing them every night. And I've been also doing stretching. Stretching has become a huge part of my life. I wish I, you know, I think I said this the other day. I wish I knew about stretching. I wish I cared about stretching when I was younger, because it makes sense to kind of, you know, now I don't want to overstretch. I don't want to get stretch crazed, but I like to just, well, you know, I talked about this run that I did that one morning, and my knee started bothering me. And my knee doesn't ever really bother me. And I just started thinking about, and I think this is really an important thing for me, is that I started to think about the situation, which was a knee, which was a bending knee. And I try to run, you know, very like a gazelle, you know, very light, nimble, not like a rhinoceros galloping down the trail. So I tried to take care of my joints, and this knee just started acting weird, and I was like, wonder what's up with the knee. And I, you know, I talked about whatever this muscle and tendon and shit that's inside of your leg that connects to the knee, it was very tight, very tight. You know, if you sat down on your butt and you put the bottoms of your feet together and you let your knees fall apart, fall open, I think they call it a butterfly stretch, oh, feels good, right? But whatever that is, that's what was tight. And I had sat down, and my knees basically were at a 45-degree angle. They wouldn't even come down. And when that tension is like that, and I remember Tiger Woods used to talk about, you know, these muscle releases. And I'm like, what the fuck's he talking about? I get it now. There is like this weird thing that happens with muscle that it just like knots up. And if you can get it to release, it's almost like little mini muscle cramps that just build up until it's like a big knot of muscle cramps. And I started it. So now every night I stretch and I let my knees fall open. My knees now touch the ground, you know, and I check my posture and I stretch my neck to the right and I stretch my neck to the left. And you know, I guess you have to get to an age, or you have to get to a point. I guess it's like everything, you know, you have to get to a point where you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and then you decide to make a change. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm tired of being a victim to the age. I'm tired. I'm ready to be evaluate my condition at this age and how to preserve, you know, feeling good for the as long as I possibly can. And so, you know, it's a crazy how just stretching the, you know, tilting your head over and trying to, like, touch your ear to your shoulder, just how tight that even gets. You know, I think that's where I carry all my stress. So I'm just really working on stretching, and then I started doing these push-ups. And I, like I said, embarrassingly, I did 7. And then I got to 10, and then I got to 15, yada, yada, yada. Last night I did 40. And all of a sudden, I feel 10 years younger. I feel 10 years younger. My posture feels stronger. My chest feels tighter. My shoulders are getting tighter. My triceps, my forearms, my you know, I first started this push-up project. And it's not a push-up challenge. I have no goal. I just want to do push-ups every night. And I can feel, like, just everything getting tighter and stronger. And when I first started, my hand would hurt, my wrist and my thumb. I was feeling like pain in my thumb from doing the push-ups. That pain has now gone away. And I'm just starting to, I guess, feel more confident in my push-ups. And one of the things that I struggle with the most is balancing between doing the push-ups and breathing. And my breathing, you know, what I end up doing is I do the push-ups and I hold my breath. So I'm like, you know, and I'm doing these push-ups and it's almost like I'm a sprinter, right? And I'm not breathing. So then I'm like, I can't hold my breath, so I have to stop. So I'm realizing that no breathing, no push-up. So then I'm trying to do the push-up and breathe between them, and that's hard. And, you know, I'm also doing these before bed. So, you know, my wife is in bed while I stretch and do my push-ups, and I don't want to sound like I'm, like, dying over there, so I'm trying to be cool about it. But it's a whole lot of shit that goes on in these little push-up things. So I'm feeling better, and I wasn't feeling great about myself physically. I mean, but I kept throwing it under the I'm 50 umbrella. Oh, you're 50. Of course you're going to have a stomach. Ah, you're 50. Of course you're, you know, you're the meat under your arm behind your, you know, your tricep is going to swing when you wave. You know, you're 50, and it's not the case. I just didn't feel like doing the work, and it is a shame. And listen, my, you know, I'm not trying to you know, become physically amazing, but I do want to you know, I want to feel okay. And it's I've been feeling a bit toxic. I can tell just in my patients, you know, the traffic that is going on here. I feel like this town's, we've been whoring this town out for so long. You know, in the 25 years that I've lived in this town, you know, summers, you know, we hoard it out. You know, we lived here, and then when summer came, you basically, you said goodbye to the town because it was inundated with people. And, you know, it was fine. But it's fine, you know, and I'm sure that the 100 people would say, you don't like it, leave. We're moving out of the town. We're going to move out. I was very upset about the idea of leaving our town because, you know, it is hard. It's where I've lived for 25. It's the longest place I've ever lived. I got sober here. Tons of friends, tons of sober friends. Small business, been involved in other businesses. Just, you know, I'll probably die here. But it has become so full of people. and it's like, I get a resentment, you know. It's like these people come down here, and I'm one of these people. You know, I came here 25 years ago. I was not born and raised here, so I'm a transplant. So I'm part of the problem, I guess. But it's just gotten really crazy. Yesterday, I had to take my son and his friends. They were in a track meet to Seaford, and just the traffic on Route 1 was. I can't. And it's kind of sad. maybe this town isn't meant for living year round in it anymore. You know, maybe it's just going to be it. You know, it's always been the summer capital. I think it's actually really taking on that, you know, that look. But I know one thing: this town helped me get sober, and I'll always be indebted to that. And I'll always love this town. And just keep working it out.
Bottles and Bibles litter the floor. An all-night revival. You passed out around four. Now the preacher's been drinking, but it's hard not to do. She ran out the screen door and swore they were through. Oh Lord, if you care, send the spirit down here, 'cause the preacher's been drinking again. But it's a hard way to go on the straight. Everybody in town points a finger at you, but they ain't had to walk with the weight that you've hauled. They don't know you at all, but they think that they do. He just knew she'd come home, but the nights kept a-crawling as he laid there alone. And he'd call up to heaven, and he'd hope and he'd pray, but the line's always
in town points a finger at you. That's never good. Tyler Childers, that song is called Bottles and Bibles. I'm like really, I don't know, I'm really digging music right now. I'm because of this podcast, and we do this other, just the new Discovery Music podcast. I've just been, you know, being part of that podcast. Part of my job for the podcast is bringing new music. So there's just so much fucking good music out there right now. And these, you know, I'm figuring out, you know, my at this age, at this point in my life, I'm just really a big into vocals. You know, I love music, I love guitars and drums and yada yada, but I love a good vocalist. And this guy right here has a great voice. Very, you know, it's like that, who's that other girl? Oh, I just said her name earlier. I'll remember, but she was the other girl I think I did her on this, or not did her, I did her song on this another podcast. I'll remember, but just great music. I'm just really having a lot of fun with it. And but yeah, Tyler Childers, there he is. So, you know, one of the things I was thinking, you know, I talked about on the other day is, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, it's such a big commitment, right? It's such a big step. It's such a big deal. And I think for me at this point of my life and my sobriety, it's the biggest, it's what I use the most. It's this relationship with this higher power that, you know, I choose to call God, you know, believe it or don't believe it. I don't even know. I just know that I believe that if I stop doing what I'm doing and take a minute to recognize a higher power, I find myself getting a little bit of clarity. And clarity, serenity, is all that I need, is all that I want. You know, when I'm having a bad day, you know, if I'm having a day where I would consider using or drinking or eating too much, I've lost my clarity, right? I get incensed. You know, I talk about the traffic. There's just a few things in life that fucking drive me crazy, and one of them is traffic. And I've identified it. I've recognized it. I can do a four step on it. I don't even know what it is. It's almost like a synergistic thing that happens with traffic between me driving, me watching other people, and then me just having an opinion about shit. You know, I start calling everybody old or blind or what. I don't even know. It's just, idiots, you know, it's crazy. But it's my one thing that brings me insanity. And I don't know really what to do about it. I guess I could stop driving. Now, I don't get to a point where I have like road rage. I've never gotten in a fight. It just rattles my foundation. I don't think I would drink over traffic. But it brings me a lot of anxiety, and it's a lot of luggage and baggage that I carry around due to this one subject. You know, yesterday I had to take, the boys to track practice, and I know that, I was podcasting yesterday. I had to drive all the way back down to the beach, pick up the boys. And that's like, go pick up one boy, pick up another boy, you know, on different sides of the town, different parts of all by the outlets and the fucking shittiest part of town, you know, as far as traffic goes, and finally get out of there and then work my way towards Bridgeville or Seaford or whatever I was going. And the whole time, yesterday morning, I mean, Sunday night, just, not in the moment, not staying in the day. I'm completely into the next day, which would have been yesterday, and just living in this stressful moment about traffic. And I don't even know what the traffic's going to be like. And I finally get the boys, and of course, I was right. Fucking traffic was terrible. And I'm like, and I'm moving out of there. I'm just like going through all this bullshit. And then we end up, I get behind a trash truck. It's even getting worse. You know, everything I thought was going to go wrong is going wrong. I was completely right. And I'd used my Maps app on my phone. And all of a sudden it says, you know, take a right on Prettyman Road. And I'm like, oh, shit, that is not, you know, I had planned. I'm like, I'm sure it's going to take us through Georgetown and then down whatever and then over here. And, I'm going to have to go through Georgetown. And if anybody lives around here and knows about Georgetown, but Georgetown is a nightmare too. You know, the circle and, it's just, it's awful. I would never survive in D.C. But all of a sudden it says, let's take Prettyman Road. And I go, we pull on Prettyman Road. There's no traffic. And then it's like, and I feel like, you know, when you're kind of, I don't know if you ever use your Maps app, but sometimes it'll take you on alternative routes. And, you know, I know that I need to be headed westish. And then you get to this road and it says, at the end of this road, go right. I'm like, that's not west. That's north. That's the different direction. So then I'm like, what am I doing? And I tell you what, man. I just let go and let Maps, and all of a sudden we were there. No traffic. I wasted a bunch of fucking time worrying about shit again. And it's just, I can't get better. I can't get better. I can't find myself, I can't get to a point in my life where I'm just like, traffic? No big deal. It's always a fucking big deal to me, and it drives me crazy. And, you know, we went down to the beach this weekend. My son was working. We were going to go down there. And I wanted to go to a store. There was a lady that was on the other podcast from Grace Boutiques. We wanted to go say hi. We could not find a fucking parking spot. I'm like, this fucking town's lost it. I was going crazy. Again, here we go. So I got work to do, people. All right. Oh, here we go. April 20th. This Daily Reflections. This ought to be interesting. April 20th, self-examination. All right. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. I think self-pity would be where I was at yesterday. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 86. When said sincerely, this prayer teaches me to be truly unselfish and humble, for even in doing good deeds, I often used to seek approval and glory but for myself. By examining my motives in all that I do, I can be of service to God and others, helping them do what they want to do. When I put God in charge of my thinking, much needless worry is eliminated, and I believe He guides me throughout the day. When I eliminate thoughts of self-pity, dishonest, and self-centeredness, as soon as they enter my mind, I find peace with God, my neighbors, and myself. Yeah, exactly. That's what I need to do. You know, I talk about it all the time, you know, turning it over. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. You know, I'm just picking and choosing, though, when I want to do this. And I didn't choose to do it yesterday. And I find myself living in a lot of chaos and self-pity. And that is, you know, I like where it talks right there where it says, when I put God in charge of my thinking, much needless worry is eliminated, and I believe He guides me throughout the day. By examining my motives and all that I do, I can be of service to God. I like that. For even in doing good deeds, I often used to seek approval and glory for myself. I'll never forget early sobriety in that damn golf cart, or not the shopping cart. You know, and I've talked about this, how I used to, you know, when I got sober, I was like, look at me, I'm fucking sober, I'm amazing, what? And taking the shopping cart down to my car, unloading it, and then taking the shopping cart, you know, not to the shopping cart holder, but all the way back to the store. Because I was now sober, and I was special, and that's all good, except for the fact that all I was doing was noticing or looking to see if anybody was noticing how awesome I was. And that is not good. So doing things rightly, you know, is important. You know, driving my kids in the car to track practice is, you know, in my mind, I'm awesome. But I'm sure that I come off as a miserable baby to my kids. And they're probably like, we don't want to ride with you. You know, my son called me on the way home from track practice. Actually, he called me from the driveway. He was like, yeah, we're home. And it sounded like they were having a lot of fun in the car. It doesn't sound like we're having a lot of fun in the car when I'm picking him up or when I'm taking him. It sounds quiet and awful. I don't want that to be me. I want to be better. And I'm going to keep working on it.
But they ain't had to walk with the weight that you've hauled. They don't know you at all. They think that they do. The bottles and Bibles broke out in a fight. The whiskey fought hard, son, took the victory that night.